Finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to the Relegators Podcast. My name is Phil, and this is the podcast where me and my best bud Carl go over the relegation system in the Premier League soccer as well as promotion for the EFL Championship League. Carl, how was your week?
Week's good. I've got a full cabinet full of candy that I'm finishing off my sober October with. That's been my secret, is just replace one addiction with the other.
Yep, that's what they usually do. AA is full of cigarettes and coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. How was your week?
Not bad, not bad. Probably went out a little too much, but it was worth it. I had fun this week.
Yeah, money comes, money goes. Yeah, don't fret over it too much.
Yeah, and I'm into that thing called instant gratification.
Yeah, and I'm sure she looked good on your way out of the bar.
All right, let's get started this week. We had two fixtures in the championship, EFL championship this week, a Tuesday, Wednesday set and a Saturday, Sunday set. So let's get started. Tuesday, Leeds United hosted Watford at Elland Road. And this one went pretty much as we thought. Brendan Aaronson getting his goal in the 7th minute. America! Leeds take this 1-2-1.
Yeah, the Leeds scored twice in the first, 10 minutes or first, so.
Yeah, Brendan Aaronson was the second goal at 7 minutes, 7 minute mark.
Yeah, both of those were kind of keeper error. The first one was a pretty hard shot from outside the box, but it hit the keeper in both of his hands, but then the ball flew over his head after that. So that was one. And then the Aaronson one was a absolutely dreadful clearance by the keeper that Aaronson just sent right back at him and went into the net. So a nightmare first 10 minutes for the Watford keeper, but Leeds took advantage.
Yeah, Leeds kind of dominated this one. 24 shots for them, 53% possession on that. Yeah, that first goal, the keeper didn't do his wrist workouts, just hit him both hands, and it just kept going. The shot was too powerful.
Yeah, it was definitely a rocket, but you think if you get two hands in front of the ball, you think you at least push it over the crossbar, you know, it shouldn't be a goal usually if you get two hands on it.
No, but it was a rocket shot, but no, I agree. You punch it up over the crossbar or clear it out, but he did not, went through. Two goals in the first 7 minutes, and a 47th minute goal for Bob. But again, too little too late. 2-1 ends up being the final.
Yep. Solid home win for Leeds. Watford's not a bad team, but they, like I said last week, I just don't think they're quite enough to get over the hump and make a solid playoff push.
No, I agree. Next game, we'll go to Wednesday's fixtures. We go to Ewood Park. Blackburn Rovers host West Brom. We had good chances for both sides, but neither team broke through.
Yeah, 0-0. I just have to say, finding the highlights for this one, normally you get some unbiased, kind of down-the-middle announcers, but for the highlights package for this one, I was so blessed to find something called West Bromwich Albion TV. And let me tell you, these announcers, like I throw on the highlights and I'm not even really paying full attention at first. And then I kind of look up and I see West Brom, like they missed a shot. It rolled wide of the goal. And I just hear as it's rolling by the goal, I hear the announcer go, And I'm like, whoa, calm down, buddy. And then I look up in the corner and I see it's West Brom TV. I'm like,
Yeah,
I'm
not
gonna,
the unbiased reporting we're used
yeah, I'm definitely gonna be watching all their highlights with these now too.
to. All right, that was a nil-nil game, so we'll just move on from that one. Next game, Luton Town hosts Sunderland. Sunderland's been on top of the table most of the season, and they continued on today with a 2-1 victory.
Yeah, I was trying to think, besides my beloved Stadium of Light, why I love Sunderland, why I'm actually like, I have this innate sense of rooting for them. And I figured it out tonight. And it's because my favorite adult actress's name is Kendra Sunderland. Now it all makes sense why I like Sunderland so much.
I'm gonna have to look that one up. I'm not familiar with her, but
Yeah, do some research just for the
yeah,
podcast.
research.
Just,
That's it. That's it.
yeah.
Use research, boss. I'm using it on the work computer for research.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. I mean, Sunderland had a good save. Their keeper made a great save on one of Luton's shots.
Well, how about the Carlton Morris offside call?
Yeah, I missed that one. Was it close?
No, it was not. For Luton Town, Carlton Morris, they called him offside at 45 plus 9.
Oh, that would have been 2-2, or what would have been 2-2 for that goal, or
That would have started the game at 1-0 for Luton
oh.
Town. Changes the entire complexity of the game. And then Luton, 19 shots in this, had possession for 57% of the match. Really heated exchange after the final whistle went. I think Luton was just really, really frustrated with the referees and not coming out to perform. They played well, but they did not get the results that they were looking for.
Yeah, and they've been, it hasn't been a picture perfect season for them yet. And you had to think that the emotions and the feelings of maybe pulling an upset at home against the top team in the league probably had them on edge. And to have a chance to get a result against them and maybe have some calls not go your way and wind up with 0 points again. Yeah, I could see why they're frustrated for sure.
Most definitely, most definitely. Next game, we go to MKM Stadium. Hull City hosts Burnley. This one ends up in a 1-1 draw. Xavier Simmons with a 45th minute goal. Looked like the goalie got screened there. Didn't see the ball come off his foot, and it just sneaks in the corner.
Yeah.
Burnley's Ian Fleming with a 77th minute goal. Really nice header.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had in my notes is that header. Yeah, he got way up there and kind of did like the Mario leap to get the mushroom, and he popped it on in there. But yeah, the first goal, that was from way out, and it wasn't even hit that hard. So yeah, I was just like, the goalie must have just not been able to see it.
Yeah, he
But
either froze or got screened. I'm assuming he got screened. The replay I watched wasn't great, so I couldn't really tell, but he definitely didn't make a move after the ball was struck.
yeah, but hey, Hull gets a point at
Yep,
home against.
the draw moves on for Hull. They just like getting those draws.
Yeah, they'll take it. It's and Burnley, little disappointment, but those are going to happen throughout the season. So just keep moving on for them.
Yeah, especially on a short week.
Yeah, short week. Good call.
Yep. Next up, the DraftKings match of the week. We go to Riverside Stadium. Middlesbrough take on Sheffield United. The only goal here, Emmanuel Latte Lath, at the 80th minute, just got subbed in the 77th minute, and another great header from him ends up taking it down for Middlesbrough.
Here's Finn's ass. Latte Lath makes an excellent run and scores. Well, Michael Carrick sent him on with a message. Find that goal scoring form from last season.
Yeah, I love those headers where they're diving towards the goal and they're like parallel to the ball. Those are something about that's just so cool. They look like Superman a little bit. And yeah, nice goal. Just when we, dump Middlesbrough, of course, they get a win against the top team.
Well, it was a DraftKings match of the week. Carl, do you remember what you bet on this one?
Why don't you go ahead and refresh my memory?
You put $100 at -200 for Middlesbrough to win straight up. You take that one down. I took
Oh.
Sheffield United for $100, draw no bet. I end up losing that one.
Oh my goodness, this is the, you know what? I'll be right back. I'm gonna go call my parents and inform them that their son is worth something after all.
You finally won one.
I finally won one. Yes, thank you, Middlesbrough. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, let's move on to the weekend fixtures. All the games we were looking at were played on Saturday. Carl, we had a few dominant performances this week with nothing to show for it. One of the games we start off at Ashton Gate, Bristol City hosts Leeds United. Leeds dominate this with 68% possession, 17 shots, and it's a nil-nil draw.
So I guess Bristol City is undefeated at home. So they definitely have found a way to defend the home turf, and it seems like it's not going to be easy for anyone to get out of here with more than a point. And yeah, Leeds got to be frustrated, but that's definitely a way for a team to stay up, even if they're not having a great season. Just hold serve. And so Bristol's got 7 draws out of 12 matches so far this season.
Well, I
So
mean,
they're.
if you're Leeds in this one, 68% possession, 5 shots on target to Bristol's 0 shots on target, you got to at least get one in there.
Yeah, they dominated the stats. They dominated possession. Everything. But goals. But another thing that happened that's I love watching soccer is so Willie Nanto, I think that's how to pronounce it. There's a G N at the beginning of his name. Nanto. We'll just say the G is silent, kind of like Django. So Willie Nanto, first he had a curler that was a great shot that got saved by the Bristol keeper, kept it scoreless. And then he had another shot later on in the match that was saved not by the keeper but by another defender that was on the line,
That's
which
right.
is
Yeah. Got
one of
by
my
the
favorite
defender and
things.
the or excuse me, got by the keeper. He was a little out of position. Defender was there at the goal line, cleared it out.
Yeah, and you want to know my favorite non-goalie save in soccer history?
Is it, I'm thinking a USA Ghana match or something like that.
You're on the kind of right track with one of the teams.
Well, go ahead.
So it's Luis Suarez for Uruguay against Ghana in the quarterfinal of the 2010 World Cup. It's right at the end of the match, like 90th plus minute, and keeper gets beat and Suarez is at the line and he just straight up spikes the shot with his hand and gets the
I was
automatic
gonna say,
red
was it by
card.
the handball? Was
Yeah.
it the handball
He
in the
gets
box?
immediate red card, gets booted, and then Ghana has a penalty at the end of the match, and Osamoah Gyan hits the penalty off the crossbar, and then Uruguay wins it in
Oh, wow.
penalties. So
So, yeah, it did turn
amazing.
into a save for Suarez.
Yeah, huge save. Best save ever.
All right, next game, Sheffield United hosts Stoke City. What do you think about your Potters in this one?
Oh, they met all of my expectations, which is to mean,
Yeah.
yep.
Go down 2-0. Goal from Kiefer Moore in the 14th minute and Tyrese Campbell in the 50th. Sheffield United have control of this from start to end, pretty much.
Yeah, start to end. So they Sheffield United started the match by honoring a former player named George Baldock, who played with them for 7 seasons and I guess died in his swimming pool at his home in Greece a couple weeks ago. He was only 31, so they
Wow.
had some emotions going for that. So yeah, sad story there. And then the second goal that Sheffield United scored was scored by former Stoke City striker Tyrese Campbell. So he scored against his former club. That's got to feel good for him.
Right on. Next game, one of the games we were talking about with a lot of dominance, but nothing to show for it. Burnley hosts QPR. 22 shots for Burnley, 75% possession, a nil-nil draw on this one.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot to say about this. I was thinking for some of these nil-nil matches, we could try maybe just making up something weird or crazy that happened. Like I was thinking, oh, and then, in the 57th minute, that Bobcat ran on the field and bit the ball and punctured it, and they had to go get a new ball. And,
I mean, with the score line, it wouldn't surprise me if they were playing with a flat ball.
Yeah, Tom Brady said, I got an idea for you
Yeah.
guys.
Yeah. Again, QPR, no shots on target. Like we were talking about with Leeds, Burnley definitely needed to get one in on this one. Also, at home, like, really, this is one of those draws that's really a loss.
Yeah, totally. Against QPR in the relegation zone. Burnley's at home at Turf Moor. I was watching the highlights of this game. There were some empty seats there. I don't know, for some reason I had it in my head that Burnley's fans were like crazy diehard, and it was kind of out in this like place where there's nothing else happening in England. So I was a little surprised to see such a high level championship team have some empty seats, but maybe they just had a hunch that this game was going to suck.
Yeah, I've noticed that a couple times with some games. I looked up a little bit earlier. Blackburn Rovers had like a whole section empty, and I was wondering if that was like a safety thing for the traveler, the visitors section or something. I couldn't really find out why one whole section was empty at Blackburn Rovers, but I've noticed that in a couple places this season.
Maybe it was their where their marching band was sitting, and they were getting ready to play the halftime show.
Do they have marching bands in English soccer? I know we got them in college football, but I don't know if they have the halftime shows that we do.
I'm pretty sure if a marching band tried to go on at halftime, the fans would just pelt them with all sorts of bottles and what the bloody hell is this?
Next game, West Brom hosting Cardiff City. Again, West Brom 65% possession, 19 shots, 4 on target, 0 on target for Cardiff City, and another nil-nil draw.
Yeah, not much to say about this game, but in the 78th minute, there was another Bobcat that ran onto the field and got a hold of the ball again. So, I
Also
mean,
playing with a flat ball at the
I think, yeah,
Hawthorns.
I think the English Wildlife and Game Commission or whatever needs to get control of these Bobcats because this is becoming a serious nuisance.
Speaking of the ball though, we are getting towards a snow season, and you can tell because they are starting to play with the yellow ball now.
Yeah, I definitely like to keep track of like when players start to wear the long sleeves as well. That's how I can tell like how cold it is, like
Yeah, gloves, like strikers are wearing
gloves.
gloves. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still seeing most people going sleeveless. So I think maybe we got another couple weeks and then it's just gonna the freeze will set in.
Yep, totally.
And there'll be a few cold, rainy nights in Stoke, I promise you
Oh, I bet. I bet the whole place is miserable. England, I'm talking about.
that.
All right, final game of the week in the EFL Championship. At the Stadium of Light, Sunderland hosts Oxford. They take this one down 2-0. This one was a dominant performance, but this one actually had some goals. Joe Bellingham with a 16-minute header. Wilson Isidore had a great goal, and he had a ton of chances in this game. It was good to see him break one out because, I mean, he was just giving the keeper trouble all day.
Yeah, this was I mean, right now it looks like Sunderland is the class of the championship. They aren't really having any scuffles like Burnley and Leeds have. Yeah, they look like number one. Yeah, that volley goal by Isidore was really awesome. Like that
Yeah.
was really cool to see. Also, another cool thing about this match was about a minute or so into the match, the sprinklers came on. I don't know if you did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah, they started the match, and then shortly after the match began, they're kicking it around, and the sprinklers all went off. And I was just thinking, like, that's like the groundskeeper's like worst nightmare. Just
You
imagine, I can
had
just,
one job.
yeah, I could just imagine the head groundskeeper waking up in a cold sweat at night, and his wife like gets up, and he's like, "Oh, honey, are you having the sprinklers during the game nightmare again?" So someone's nightmare came true, but yeah, Sunderland just looks a cut above right now, but a long way to go, but
No,
great
that's an
start.
excellent segue into the standings. Sunderland on top, 28 points on the table thus far. 4-1-0 in the last five games. That's 4 wins, 1 draw, no losses. I mean, that's about as good as you can be in five games.
Yeah, they did have a loss, that fifth game ago or sixth game ago, but yeah, they won three in a row. They're definitely cruising right now, and yeah, they got a 5-point lead over second place, 5-point lead over third place. Yeah, they look really good,
Yeah,
and offensively
they
and
are looking real
defensively.
good. And second and third place, as Carly alluded to, Burnley in second, Leeds United in third, just separated by one goal in the differential. Sheffield United is in fourth with 22 points. West Brom closes it out for our top five with 20 points.
Yeah, just West Brom's form. It's loss, loss, draw, 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 draw.
Yeah.
So they could use a win, 'cause yeah, they haven't scored more than a point in a match in well over a month now. So come on, baggies.
Let's look ahead to next, or yes, excuse me. Let's look ahead to next week. Friday, Kenilworth Road, Luton Town will take on West Brom. I think Luton. I kind of want to say Luton wants to do something at home after that loss, but this might be West Brom. This might be when West Brom gets right.
I kind of like your way of thinking in the first part of that. I think I'm gonna lean towards Luton in this one. Maybe like a 1-0 kind of thing.
Yeah. Saturday at Ewood Park, Blackburn Rovers take on Sheffield United. Blackburn, we followed for a little bit. They're just outside the top five right now. Sheffield's been playing well. On the road, they'll probably hope for a draw. They can steal a win for sure, but I think they're going to be happy with 1 point.
Yeah, I could see a draw in this, but I like the home side in this. Blackburn Rovers, we kind of buried them a little quickly
But
because
I'm never going back, Carl.
I know you hold a grudge. You're like nobody's business, but
I heard a saying for that. They call it Irish amnesia. I only remember the grudges.
I only remember the crutches. Irish amnesia. Yeah, it's a very serious, debilitating condition. Just know me being his friend for all these years. I think I'm liking Blackburn. I don't know. I don't really feel like putting. You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna go Blackburn.
Yeah, Blackburn slight favorites in this one. Let's see. +180 to Sheffield's +160, draw +215. So they're the bookies are saying it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, I fully believe that, no question. What else we got?
Moving on, we go to Elland Road where Leeds United will take on Plymouth Argyle. Carl's favorite manager, Wayne Rooney, coming in from with Plymouth Argyle, not playing well this season. I think
Goons.
Leeds should take this one easily.
Yeah, I mean they better. I think that would set off a few alarm bells if they can't take care of Plymouth Argyle at home. So. And I see no reason to believe that Plymouth Argyle, the only results they pulled so far this season are at home, and I don't expect that to change. Sorry, Runes.
No, I agree with you 100%. On to Loftus Road, where Queen's Park Ranger, or we just call them the Park Rangers now because they're so shitty and there's no more Queen.
Hi, I'm Ranger Park, the Park Ranger.
I get it.
The Park Rangers take on Sunderland, top of the table. I think even on the road, Sunderland take this one down easily.
They're gonna do what Burnley couldn't do and get a point against one of the shittiest teams in the league. I got no doubt in my mind that Sunderland's gonna continue their run of form and put a whooping on the Park Rangers.
I get
I love it. All right. Sunday's game, we go to the Den and Millwall hosts Burnley. I think Burnley should take this one down. Millwall, let's check it out, the standing. I don't have my table up in front of me. Where's Millwall? Oh, 10th place, right in the middle, 16 points. They are 4 wins, 4 draws, 4 losses on the season.
Okay, so middle of the road.
Yeah, like exactly middle of the road. Burnley. Second on the table. They should win this on the road. I might give Millwall a little lean towards a draw, but I think Burnley should handle this easily.
Well, one thing about this is Millwall is they probably have my favorite fans of any team in English football.
They're not the Wolverunians.
They're not the Wolverunians, but they have their supporters actually have a weapon named after them called the Millwall Brick. You know what that is?
I'm assuming it's a brick.
It's not a brick. It's actually a newspaper that's folded over on itself multiple times until it's dense enough to be used as a small club. And it was a allegedly used as a stealth weapon at football matches during the 60s and 70s. So if you got a weapon named after your team or your fans, you're doing something right.
I've actually seen those made in prison documentaries, so.
Also, I think they might have had something to do with the invention of the Fifi towel. Maybe you could tell people about that other prison creation.
I don't know what the Fifi towel is, sorry.
Well, just I'm not gonna mention it and describe it, but if anyone listening wants to learn something very interesting, go Google Fifi towel.
All right, so that was an exciting week in the EFL Championship League. Let's move on to the Premiership.
All right, the big boys.
All right, big game on Friday. We're following Leicester City. They are hosting my Nottingham Forest in the, have you heard this one, Carl? It is the East Midlands Derby.
You know what? I did hear that. I forgot what its name was, but I did hear them mention that East Midlands Derby. It sounds, I mean, if I want to go on a vacation sometime soon, I'm going to the East Midlands.
And this was our DraftKings match of the week for the Premier League last week. Carl, what'd you put on it?
I did not bet on this one, right?
You sure did. You put
Oh.
$150 straight up on Lester.
Yeah, I just was thinking about that all weekend, just hearing that 150, just like an echo constantly in my head, and it wouldn't leave me alone. It was driving me crazy. I'm glad that we can just finally, just move on from this because it's really painful.
Well, yes, as Carl alluded to, my Nottingham Forest take down Leicester City 3-1. Forest till I die. Another big win for Forest. We're playing great. Leicester City dropped 3 points. The only thing I really got, Chris Wood, the New Zealander, our top goal scorer for Forest, had a circus header off of Wout. Sorry, my.
Yeah, Wout face.
Fies, yeah, I just got an alert right when I was in the middle of that covered up homeboy's name. So circus header from Wout Fies, the defender, the Belgium defender, hit it off his head. Chris Wood just took it in the air and headed it in himself in the 60th minute for the 3-1 victory.
Wood, and he's got a chance for another, which he takes. What a delight for the former Leicester striker. 7 for the season for the veteran New Zealander. And Nottingham Forest are heading for a place in the top 5.
ably assisted, though. Shambolic defending by Leicester City. Chris Wood does not mind at all, does he? Going to celebrate once again in a stadium that he's known very well indeed in his past. It's Matt Sells with the hefty lump forward. Yes, you can over-intellectualise football. Yes, you can dress it up to be a science. But there's a classic term for this. It's called Route 1. One bounce, one header from a defender, a second header from Chris Wood. A goalkeeper just in no man's land. Sold woefully short by his defence. He then exacerbates it by not actually making a decision. And Chris Wood nods it over the stranded goalkeeper to take the acclaim of that travelling Forest faithful.
Yeah, this Wout Faiz guy, if we're not saying that, pronouncing that correctly, then go fuck yourself. Don't give a shit. But Wout Faiz, he's a little famous for kind of these crazy blunders.
Yes, I've noticed that. And he also reminds me, I believe, what was his name? David Villa, the Chelsea defender who had like the sideshow bob hair and also did stupid stuff.
I know who you're talking about. It's not David Villa. He was a guy in Spain that was really good. It's someone else. But So I guess I remember this guy's name and his hair, obviously, but I was like, where do I remember this guy from? He's playing for, I believe it was still Leicester, and he's playing against Liverpool, and Liverpool won 2-1 because of his two own goals in one match, which is that's incredible.
Yeah,
that's an own goal. Own
no
goal
how
brace.
You look at it, it's a brace.
Yeah, but you got to be pretty happy. I hope you're still learning the Nottingham Forest fight song. And what's that weird name it has?
The Mull of Kintyre.
The Bowl of Kintyre?
Mull. M-U-L-L. Or, yeah, like a small hill. I think that's what a mull is. Or
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Well, by next week, I want you to be singing the whole thing.
It's not like a victory song, though. It's just a halftime song.
A halftime song.
Yeah, we only sing it at halftime.
Okay, good to know. All right, well, next halftime, we're going to hear you belt it out, Phil.
All right, on to the next game. Brentford hosted Ipswich Town. Carl, this one had a ton of goals. Really exciting action. Ipswich thought they were going to have a victory. They got an 86-minute goal, and then the 86-minute goal was to tie it up, and then they let the game-winning goal go in the 90th plus six.
Yeah, so Brentford's involved in a seven-goal match, do you know what it's called?
No.
Yeah, I guess this is what I just learned today, but this is what their fans call it. If Brentford's in a seven-goal match, they call it a West London Fuckfest, which I thought was a weird, weird name to call it. Okay, I just made that up, but that's what it felt like. Four goals. Ipswich up 2-0.
Man of the match, though, is Ipswich's Harry Clark, who had an own goal, also gave up a penalty that resulted in a goal, and also had a late foul that gave him his second yellow and was sent off and a man down.
This guy was watching the Leicester match on Friday, and he was like, all right, Wout Faiz, let me show you how a real man does it. Let me show you how a real man blows a game.
Yeah, poor guy's first Premier League start. He's been playing with Ipswich since they were in League One.
Wow.
It's his first Premier League start and shits the bed.
Wow, and yeah, that's an unforgettable first match. And when he has grandkids, he'll be able to, you know, bounce him on his knee and say, hey, your granddad really fucked up the game on his first Premier League start.
Yeah, or his grandkids will, Dad, Grandpa, we're going on YouTube to watch the Ipswich Town game or the Brentford game.
And the grandpa's going to be like, no, just watch porn or something.
Yeah,
okay?
Just throws the laptop out the window.
Don't watch that. That penalty was interesting because it started out outside the box. And then he kind of
Yeah,
was
when
holding
the
on to him.
contact was made, the contact was first started outside the box, went inside the box, but they gave him the free kick outside because that's when the first contact was made on that one.
But didn't they give him a penalty, or am I?
No, I think that's the second one you're
That's the
thinking of.
second
The
one.
first one was just a straight careless foul.
Yeah.
Took down Mbembo, I want to say, but
Mbumo. Is it
Mbeumo, yeah. I
Brian
mean, I know he got the
Mbumo?
goal on the penalty. I don't remember who got fouled, but I believe it was him.
Yeah, Mbumo, by the way, 8 for 8 on penalties as a Brentford player. So
Nice.
the
Nice. Well, that's
man.
why he takes the penalties.
Yeah,
You
the
gotta have
man don't
someone up
miss.
there.
Yeah, and then he scored the winner
Yep.
after
90
Ipswich
plus
had.
six. It was a nice curler, but you could tell the goalkeeper didn't make a decision, didn't know whether to go out and challenge it or stay in. And Mbembo just curled it right in. Goalie
Yeah,
just
it was a nice goal, but it was one of those that was like, whoa, did that really go in? Like it
Yeah,
didn't.
exactly.
So yeah,
Exactly.
nice fight back from Brentford at home, because they didn't want to be the first to lose to Ipswich. Nobody does, but they avoided it.
All right, next game we go to Amex Stadium where Brighton hosted Wolverhampton. This one ended in a 2-2 draw. Brighton probably thought that they had it after the 85th minute goal from Evan Ferguson put them up 2-0. But then Wolves come back with an 88th minute goal and a 90th plus 3 minute goal on a counterattack and end up taking the draw 2-2.
Yeah, what a comeback, what a fight back for Wolves on the road against a good Brighton team. That's big.
Definitely stole 2 points in this one.
I mean the numbers, the stats looked pretty even overall. So, I think this more so, yeah, it's disappointing for Brighton to give up 2 points at home, when especially when you're up 2-0 in the 88th minute.
Yeah.
You're just, I mean It's just, you know,
And
you.
Brighton's played well this season. They're a good squad.
Yeah, but I think even more so is this could be a positive sign for Wolves,
Yeah, you
and
think
like
this
just,
changes the season, gets them turned around a little bit?
yeah, just something about their moxie. Yeah, they've had some awful games, awful matches this season, and they've given up a lot of goals. But I think some other teams might have just folded at that point.
Well, and I mean, that last goal was a 4-on-1 for Brighton the other way. Gets stolen right outside the box, and Wolverhampton just push it forward, get the nice shot, get the goal, escape with a tie. It was pretty crazy sequence of events there at the end.
Yeah, thinking about that, I take it back. Yeah, maybe this is just worse for Brighton. You're up 2-1, should be going up 3-1, and then it all goes to shit. And
Yeah,
but good.
it kind of reminded me of like overtime hockey where they got the 3-on-3, and so just if you miss a shot, all of a sudden it's like a 2-on-0 the other way with no one back. It's just craziness.
I
So,
love those.
next game we go to the Etihad where Man City hosts Southampton. Carl, we thought this was going to be a blowout. It was looking like a blowout. Erling Haaland, the big Norwegian man, gets his goal in the 5th minute, and then that was it.
Yeah, one of those, they get the early goal, and yeah, they dominate statistically. We're never really in any danger, I'd say.
No, they were peppering him pretty good, Southampton. So, but still, the fact that you get the goal in the 5th minute, you think this is just going to be the beginning of a big time win, and they get out of there 1-0. They're happy with the 3 points. I think they're not happy that they lost, but I bet you they're happy they didn't lose by 4 or 5 to help out with the goal differential in the end.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't surprise me if the Southampton paper headline was "Southampton win 0-1."
I doubt it, but
Yeah, not. I mean, you go, you haven't won a match in the league so far, and you go into the Etihad, you
I mean,
lose 1. I maybe the fans, the Southampton fans, if they're like. He said to them before the match, "All right, would you take a 1-0 loss?" I'm sure some of them would have probably just been like, "Yeah, just get it over with."
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't see anything that helps them out other than the goal differential with a 1-0 loss. I think if you were to count anything as a win, it would have been a draw, at least draw or a win, obviously, but
That goal differential could mean something.
it could. It definitely could come down to that, and it definitely helps that they only lost by one to one of the top teams on the table. But I just don't think you go in there going, oh yeah, 1-0, that's a win. No, I don't think so.
All right, I guess listen to Mr. Lofty Expectations over here. Ooh, I won't be happy with a loss. God, get over yourself.
Next game, we head to Goodison Park where Everton hosted Fulham. Everton looked pretty good in this game. Both sides played decent. Everton had some good chances. Fulham only really had the one chance, the 61st minute goal from Alex Iwobi. And then Beto comes in the 90th plus 4 minute. Great header to get Everton FC out of there alive with 1 point.
Yeah, great header. Fantastic. Yeah, Everton, what do we say? They've figured out how not to blow leads. Just don't lead the whole
Yeah.
match.
Now they're coming from behind. They're playing much better than with a lead.
Yeah, that's their comfort zone, and they waited until the very last possible moment, but they got there. And I guess, I guess disappointing for Fulham. They had possession, 60% possession. Shots, I mean, Everton had more shots on target
Yeah, I think
than
that
Fulham.
goes towards the efficiency of their shots more than Fulham. Like I said, I thought Everton had the better chances in this game, so.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at this stat kind of jumped out at me. Like anyone who knows better than us that's listening, tell me if this is uncommon, but Everton 18 aerial duels won compared to Fulham's 8. I don't know if that means a lot or means nothing, but that's just, I don't see a big disparity like that very often. So kind of interesting.
Final game of the week, we go to Selhurst Park where Crystal Palace finally get off the schneid and take down your Tottenham Hotspur.
I every week I've said Crystal Palace not as bad as they look. They're due, and all it took, like it does for a lot of teams, is to play my Spurs at home. That's how you get right. And yeah, I mean, do you have anything special about this one? I mean, it's kind of your run-of-the-mill 1-0.
No, I think just kind of like Everton, they were efficient. 34% excuse me, 34% possession for Crystal Palace, but they had six shots on target compared to three from Tottenham. So when they took their chances, they were sending them the right direction. They weren't airmailing them, weren't getting blocked by the defenders. They were making sure they took quality chances, and they got one in.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that Crystal Palace finally has made me not sound like a complete lunatic. We'll see if it lasts more than a week. I'm telling you, and I'm just gonna keep on hammering it. I don't think they're getting relegated. I think they're gonna be here for a short little bit of time, and then they're gonna be hovering around like 13th, 14th area. That's what I think is going to happen. This was a
If
good
they're
way to.
lucky. I don't think so, dude. I think they're a long ways away from that, but
You want to bet?
we can.
All right. Well, next week let's have a bet ready. Unless you,
You're just saying they're going to be out of the bottom six. 14th or better is what you're calling?
I think I might have just bitten off a little more than I should have eaten.
Well, I'll do some research. I'll see what Vegas says as far as the odds go.
Let's look at the table. So they're at 6 points. 14th place is at 11 points.
Who is?
Manchester
Ooh,
United.
man. That might
All
be
right.
I'm really hoping that they drop down.
Well, maybe they'll get the new manager bump. Manchester United, for those who don't know, just sacked. And if for those who also don't know, being sacked in England is what's being fired in America is.
Yep.
So They sacked their manager.
Ten Hag was sacked.
Ten Hag, the bald wonder. Who knows what's going on, where he'll wind up. Maybe I heard maybe Southgate, but he says he doesn't want to manage until next season. But yeah, anyway, we're getting way off track here.
Yeah.
Let's next week we'll figure out the bet for Crystal Palace, but
Yeah.
I think 14th or higher they can do.
Well, now that we're talking about the standings, let's take a look at it. Leicester City, the top of the teams we're following in 15th place with 9 points. Everton FC, unbeaten in their last four, also with 9 points. There's a two-goal differential there for Leicester City. Crystal Palace in 18th after getting their first win of the season. Ipswich Town in 17th with 4 points. Wolves 19th with 2 points. And Southampton 1 point in the cellar.
I think you got that flip-flopped. Crystal Palace is 17th.
Do I?
Yeah, Crystal Palace has 6 points. And
I have them at 18th. Ipswich Town 4 points, 17th.
Crystal Palace has a win and three draws. Ipswich just has four draws.
I'm looking at Premier League standings right now. Crystal Palace 17th, Ipswich 18th.
Yes, that's correct. You had it the other. You had it flip-flopped.
I did not.
Are you sure?
Well, we're recording, so you can go back and listen to
Oh, I can't wait to find the proof that you're an idiot.
All right. Actually, the exciting part about next week's games, as we get into those, Carl, have you taken a look at the games next week?
Actually, I haven't. Why don't we
We
take a look at
have,
them
out of
together?
six teams we're following in the bottom of the Premier League, and we are only going to be following three games. All three games have two teams that we're following, so all three games are going to be DraftKings Match of the Week.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff. First game we're going to take a look at. Oh, all of them are going to be on Saturday, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So all three matches will be going on at the same time. We'll get our Premier League action done in a couple hours for the week. That'll be
My
nice.
goodness, what a Saturday that's gonna be.
Yeah. First game, we go to Portman Road where Ipswich hosts Leicester. Ipswich favored in this one. +120 for Ipswich, +210 for Leicester, +260 draw. Draw no bet for Ipswich, -165 for Leicester, +125.
Ooh, that's interesting. These, trying to learn these soccer betting lines and trying to make sense of them has been an interesting journey so
Yeah,
far
last week
because,
and this week we had a couple that were a little different than what I thought they would have been.
okay, well, let's take turns on who's going first. I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
I'm gonna say $50 on a draw.
You're going $50 draw.
Yep. What are you feeling for
I'm
this
putting
one?
100 down for Leicester City draw no bet.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't blame you for that. Leicester City just seems like slightly stronger team than Ipswich.
Mean, Vegas might know something. They're only +120 Ipswich, which seems odd. Again, they did have a good game last week. We both said that, but they haven't been getting results, so maybe the bookies think they're due.
Yeah, that could be. And yeah, they played well, and Leicester City is, while they're a solid team, they played solid. They're definitely not one of the top half of the league. So at home against the bottom half of the table team is probably Ipswich's best chance at a result. So not totally surprised.
Nope, I'm with you. Next game, we go to St. Mary's Stadium, Southampton, take on Everton FC. This one's super close. Everton barely the favorite, +165, +160 for Southampton. Or excuse me, Southampton, the minor favorite in this. Draw is +240. Draw no bet, Southampton -120, Everton -110. You went first on the last one, so I'll go first on this one. I don't think Southampton's going to do it. I'm going to take Everton straight up +165.
Ooh. Yeah, this kind of feels like, I mean, this Southampton Everton kind of feels similar to the Ipswich Town Leicester City. You've got the winless teams at home and then the slightly less shitty teams visiting. But you know what? On this one, I'm gonna have to go with Southampton. I think they finally get their first win of the season.
You want straight up or draw no bet?
Give me draw no bet for $50.
Draw no
Actually, make bump it up to 75. I'm feeling wild and crazy.
And draw no bet was -120 for Southampton. Yeah, I don't know if I said it, but I'm putting down my standard $100. All right, those are in and locked. Final game we'll be watching, Wolves at home against the newly one win Crystal Palace. Oops, and I don't have my odd sheet ready yet. Here we go. Let's see.
Well, while you're looking at that, I can give my bullshit preamble thoughts about this one.
Sure.
So this one's gonna be a test of my mettle because I've been, like I said, I've been pumping up Crystal Palace, saying that they're gonna finish out of the relegation zone, and I think they're gonna do it fairly easily. But I also gave Wolves their flowers, and I think that they're better than what they've played so far. So this one, I have no choice but to call for another draw.
Go and draw +220. How much you want to put on that?
Oh, you know what? I just changed my mind. Give me Wolves. Wolves at home.
Odds on this one before you get into it, Carl. Crystal Palace slight favorites +160 to win, Wolves +175, draw +220, draw no bet, Crystal Palace -120, Wolves -110.
Give me Wolves straight up, $75.
75.
All right, so I'm curious to see how you
Plus
go. I think I
175. I like Crystal Palace in this one. But you know
Oh.
what? I think I'm gonna do the draw this time around. I think I'm
You're
gonna
gonna go
take
draw?
+220 on the draw. $100 +220 on the draw. How much you said you were putting 75 on this one?
Yeah, 75 on Wolves.
+220. All right. Way to go, Carl. Yeah, that's it for this week. Before we end it, we'll take a look at the DraftKings scoreboard between me and Carl. We both went 1-0-1 last week. One win, one loss for each of us. Carl, you're down $100 to 760. And I pretty much stayed the same, little bit higher, made $55. I'm at 1455 for the year.
You're like the Jeff Bezos of DraftKings bets right now. You
Yeah, just always winning.
rich son of a bitch. Must be nice looking down at me from your ivory tower.
Oh, just wait till after I win them all next week.
Why don't you go fuck yourself?
Deal.
I'll get right on that.
Well, it's been a great week of action. Thanks for going over everything with me, Carl. I had fun, and I can't wait to do it again next week, bud.
Hey, much love to you. It's been another good week, and it just keeps getting more fun and more fun. And I'm telling you, we keep doing this. We learn a little bit more each week about the teams. We get a little bit more invested. We might be living in England by this time next year. Who knows?
Jolly old England. A few
Yes,
whiffins
sir.
pass.
A few.
All right, that's been a great week. Again, my name is Phil. It's my best bud, Carl. Say bye, Carl.
Hey, take it easy out there, folks.
Have a great week.